This, again, is Kevin Walter, your host. And as always, True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. That means we basically deal in everything that is relevant to our industry. We strive to be, well, as I've said, our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We specialize in helping you build portfolios to, you know, wealth and capital preservation, we call it. And trust me, despite certain feelings about the stock market and all this stuff, you definitely need to secure your wealth in things that are grounded and anchored scripturally. You're listening to a hardcore Bible-believing Christian, maybe not perfect at all, but love the Lord, period, and try to follow His Word. I want to know His Word all the time. It drives my wife nuts sometimes, because anytime we have any kind of a discussion, I have the benefit, or we have, I should say, that sounds bad. We have the benefit of an independent third party called God's Word. And I love the Word. I think everything you ever need is in there. You just need to scour it and search it with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know who the Spirit is, you need to pray and accept Christ as your Savior and Lord. That is in whole what our existence on this planet is all about. It's about nothing more than that. But once you know God, once you know Christ, the experience is much richer, much more meaningful, and you get to appreciate what He did. And I've said this over and over, and I think God may have intentionally put me in a situation where I have a very close family member who has opposed my faith for some time, and it keeps me sharp, maybe it keeps me on my knees, I don't know. But I'm just telling you, from my perspective, there's nothing anyone can ever do or say that will ever falter my faith. And I know God's God. I know that He's created everything. There's a part of me, a very analytical, scientific part of me, that remains in awe at all times. Just awe. I mean, from the fact that every atom behaves and obeys God and becomes what it is supposed to become. And I mean, folks, I don't even know how it's so clear to me, but I'm sitting here talking to you. I have a metal and wood table below me. I've got an Apple laptop in front of me. I have a Comrex and Telos stack to my left, which is not a cheap bunch of equipment, and a mixer board in front of me, and a TV on the wall, and boom mics and whatnot inside of a spectacular building that God gave us back when it was affordable. And every single thing that I just discussed is built hypothetically out of the same type of atoms. How do they know to go where they go? You know, and so here's the opposite of it. Well, evolution, it just built things. And, you know, it just is like, I can't go there. I cannot even go there. Do you know the stretch from a dark, burnt planet full of rocks and water that gets electrical lightning and boom, you get these puddles that just develop this mucky goo, and all of a sudden you get a little lightning and a little bit of something and acidic, and boom, all of a sudden you've got a living organism? Man, that is so impossible. It is so impossible. Why in the world? And then to take that from that to everything. People have, you've always got to watch. I've mentioned Proverbs 18:2. I love that scripture, and the reason I love it is God slapped me in the face with it when I was a young banker boy. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. There's also the Dunning and Kruger effect, which talks about cognitive ability and inability. You can only comprehend what you can comprehend. So if you are of a low aptitude, and frankly, folks, all of us at some level are at low aptitude. So if we're at a low aptitude or low cognitive comprehension of what's going on around us, we can only comprehend what we have in our minds, okay? So those that are of high comprehension, which obviously is going to always be semi-specific, in other words, no one knows everything about everything, but some people are a lot smarter than others, okay? But those that are technically of higher comprehension in a certain area or whatever, they assume the people of low comprehension or low cognitive ability are smarter. The people of low cognitive ability think they're smarter, so there's a, you know, there's symbiosis there. But the people that have a high level of comprehension don't comprehend their own abilities as well. So it's sort of a blessing that God gave us that we don't know how dumb we are. Dumb people don't know how dumb they are, and smart people don't know how smart they are. And I think that that is so important because when you're looking at this concept of evolution, it is pure idiocy. It is the stupidest thing because if you even began, the worst thing that can happen to somebody is a PhD. What do I mean by, well, in relevance to this conversation, why? Because they get this pinpoint knowledge, this very specific, accurate, you know, razor thin knowledge. And by razor thin, I mean, look at all the knowledge of the universe. Look what God did and what he gave us. And we specialize in one teeny weensy, itsy bitsy little topic. And all of a sudden we're super smart. Or we read. Oh, I read. I read, look stuff up on the internet. You're not near as smart as me because you don't read all this stuff on the internet, you know? And I've been through, you know, when I went through college, I mean, I took all the philosophy classes and all the, you know, the literature, but I was on the move. I didn't settle. There's people that are comfortable being students for 10 years and they want to read everything and, you know, and that's all neat and dandy, but I was on the move. I had a family of that included, at one point, one child, then two. My wife was struggling heavy with rheumatoid arthritis. I didn't have a, you know what, I won't even go down there. I didn't have much money, none, and I didn't come from money, and I certainly wasn't showered with it. And I just had to make things work. So I was on the move. I wanted to get out and make a buck. I was very athletic and very driven physically. And whatever I put my mind to, I would say I did pretty well at. And then I transferred that energy into the business realm, which took time. It takes time to move, quote, up the ladder. I did exceedingly well in banking. Had a blast. You know, got out of that in the late 90s, started really getting into the coin business, and I just loved coins, passion. My kids have said, yeah, well, Dad, if, you know, my daughter works here, and she's fantastic. She's the best I've ever had, for sure. And my son, he believes that the passion that I have is because I found coins, but that's not true. The passion that I have is because I have passion. It's, you know, people with passion put it towards anything. When I was in corporate America and I kind of worked my way into significant upper level management, and that's a hard thing, managing people. And I started to look, and we would look for people in corporate America and in banking that had like athletic experience in college, you know, successful football players, successful athletes. The best seemed to be people that were in team sports. People in individual sports were a lot more difficult because they're you know, they're not used to working with a group, and that's team. It doesn't mean they're bad, but in some cases they weren't. But overall, those are people that have gone through life. They, you know, everything that's been put in front of them, they've kind of taken big bites out of and never been afraid to run as hard as they can to the goal. And that's, I think, that's what passion looks like. Real passion goes with you. And you know how to do stuff. You just know it doesn't matter. You believe if someone else can do it, you can do it as well or better. And then, you know, there's also hunger. When you need it, that's the thing that I think America's really fallen apart on, why we're being so tolerant of this trash that's been thrown at us, these lies, is when I go back to Great Falls, Montana, where I was born and raised, and I look at the homes that we grew up in and my friends grew up in, they're not special. They're small, and we had a fair-sized house, but it was, you know, one of them was not the most attractive you've ever seen. It was a little bit scary looking. It was barn-shaped on a little hill. And then later on, my parents purchased a home about the time I was out of high school. They bought a home out on the Sun River, which flows into the Missouri, and they called it the Sun River because the original explorers that came out talked about how crystal clear the water was. Well, by the time we got there, it wasn't crystal clear anymore. It was just filthy, but it was still a river. And, you know, it was from cattle, raising cattle. But the home that they got was a kind of a fluke. It was gorgeous. It was built by a family that was well connected with history. They specialized in Indian artifacts and Charles Russell stuff, and they had done, the home was spectacular. It had, you know, box beam ceilings and tin ceilings and handmade stained glass and the box beam kind of wood walls and a huge stairway that was, you know, about 8 feet wide at the bottom, probably even, yeah, at least that. Massive, free-floating, that came out of some mansion, supposedly the Daily Mansion or something. They built the house around it. The basement had like 11-foot ceilings, and, you know, it was just spectacular. And then that sold, I think, in the, I don't even know, late 80s, early 90s for like $210,000, and you can't even imagine now. But I really saw the quality there. I loved that, but I always had this drive. I always wanted more, but when I found God, I was like, what? He just was like the best of the best. I want the best of the best everywhere I go. God has blessed us with the most phenomenal facility in the nation. I built from the ground up back in the mid-2000s, 2005. I bought the land we were in, or 4 or 5, I bought the land. Five and six, maybe, we were building in 2007. We moved in. Highest traffic count in Spokane County. I built the building from the ground up, and God gave me the vision for every minute, every piece of it. I drew everything out. It was fully designed by me. I had an architect customer that helped me with the roof lines and everything, and he also added the clock tower. But we have the highest rated privately held depository service in a long, I mean, I don't even know. There's probably some other ones out there. I know at one point back before the 08 crash, there was one in Palm Springs, one in Vegas that were pretty impressive. I'm sure they still have those. I don't know. But overall, our facility for this industry is the best. Security-wise, there's things going on. I was just contacted by a gal from, it's called ICTA, I-C-T-A, Independent Council for Tangible Assets, that they're, you know, these rogue punks are doing these looting raids on, like, Nordstrom's. 80 people go in, ransack Nordstrom, steal everything. This garbage started, you know, a while ago, and the cops won't touch squat. Kyle Rittenhouse is the epitome of this. If you don't know what Kyle Rittenhouse is, you better go educate yourself, because you're out of touch with reality. It was a beautiful scenario, I think, that God lined up. This young 16-year-old young man who was really the salt of the earth, we had seen all these riots and things burning up and all this stuff, and he wanted to go to Kenosha, I think it is, Wisconsin, which is his area that he lives. And he wanted to go help people. He wanted to protect some buildings for a guy that owned car dealerships. And he also wanted to provide emergency medical treatment because he was trained in it. This is a 16-year-old, neat kid. And he brought a gun and he got a strap to put it on his back so it'd stay out of the way. And he figured having a gun in America would make people go, gee, let's not raid that building. So these crazy maniacs started yelling at him, threatening him, saying they're going to kill him as he moved around and was treating people for injuries sustained. And they just started to say more and more heinous things. And he just went back to his post, to his place. He wasn't looking for trouble. And they just became more and more aggressive, and they came after him in a crowd. People behave rotten in crowds. And folks, this Black Lives Matter, I don't care what you say, this is an excuse for vandalism and destruction. This is third world behavior. This is the crap that I've watched years ago that third world countries experience, and we're allowing it. The police stand down and let these morons burn buildings down, tear, you know, destroy everything. But that's okay. Kyle Rittenhouse ends up protecting himself very clearly. There's video. There's so much corruption from the prosecutors, from the, you know, district attorney's prosecutor, that they didn't even get the proper videos that from a drone that had been acquired by the district attorney, or we'll just say prosecutor, until they saw it the day of the trial, one of the days of the trial. I mean, it just goes on like this. It was so corrupt. The prosecutor wanted to win so bad because he's a moron. I watched him. He's dumb as a post. And I mean, how stupid. So he got a law degree and he got a job with the DA's office, which is not hard to do. That's typically where incompetent, newly barred attorneys go, in my opinion. Some may disagree. But they don't get the sharpest tools in the shed. And this guy had a look on his face like he was out to lunch. And he got his stuff handed to him because the truth prevailed. Kyle Rittenhouse's intentions were good. He only shot people that were physically attacking him in his face, kicking him in the head, hitting him in the head with skateboards. And yet, the media, this left-wing radical communist propaganda media, just continues to tell people, they make them think they were black, and then they get hung up on, why was Kyle Rittenhouse there? Why did his mom drop him off? Why did his mom pick him up? Who cares? What matters is what happened in the shooting. How he got there, why he got there, who cares? Even if they try to say his intention was to get engaged, there's no way. If you got half a brain and you watch this kid, no way. You got witnesses all over. Why would a guy who wants to shoot somebody treat 8 different people for injuries? You know, and give them, you know, free stuff. He was a good person. He was a good kid. He was what America needs. He was what has been lost. It doesn't matter why he was there. The fact of the matter is, he did never engaged first. When they said, we're going to kill you, why? Because he was helping people, God forbid. And then the police are barricaded in somewhere down the road. I don't have the geographics in front of me, but I've seen it. The police are barricaded. He's running full bore to get to these police officers to protect him. By the way, he had some title with the police department, like an explorer or something. I don't know what they call it, ranger or whatever. But he had been accepted as a young police officer, he had aspirations. I bet that ain't happening now. And he was given a bulletproof vest that he loaned to another friend that night. They tried to mock him because he carried that and other things in his trunk. Well, he'd been issued this by a specific police department that he was working for. And he didn't wear it himself, okay? If he was going to go out and shoot people, don't you think he would have kept his bulletproof vest for himself? I think so. The prosecutor didn't even know what kind of ammunition he had in the gun. He tried to make Full Metal Jacket sound like some kind of nasty ammunition. Folks, it ain't nasty. It's all ammunition's nasty. This prosecutor, I mean, what did he want? Marshmallows with cotton balls on the front? I mean, bullets are bullets. Full Metal Jacket does not show an intention to do anything wrong. He didn't even have hollow points. Full Metal Jacket is for long distance shooting of animals and stuff. He wasn't intending anything bad. And it wouldn't even matter if he was, because if he operate, I'm not saying it's okay if he was, but he was within the boundaries of the law. And they tried to prosecute him for crimes that don't exist. You know, and then they tried to get him for transporting a gun across state lines or whatever. Well, you know, it was a long gun that fell apart. Everything fell apart and he won. And now they won't quit. Why are they so foolish? And then they've got these two white guys that shot the black guy that was in the neighborhood running. They've already burnt their energy on Kyle Rittenhouse. So this other deal where they actually have all, this happens over and over. It's kind of God's irony. The other deal, I wish I knew the names, but I don't, that they had the father and son that chased this black guy down because they thought he was up to no good in the neighborhood. And he ran and ran and ran. And they get out with guns. These guys are going down. This was a hunt. They hunted a black man. That is illegal. Okay? Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing of the sort. He just was there doing good. If anybody, first of all, educate yourself on the matter. If anyone starts, this is where people can get twisted. The media, like I said, starts going, well, why was Kyle Rittenhouse there? Well, who cares? It doesn't matter. You want to get technical? He was there to help people. But even so, doesn't matter. You start arguing about why he was there, and all of a sudden you're not talking about the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. Folks, this is under attack. The Second Amendment comes after the First Amendment for a good reason. First Amendment is what? The right to free speech, the right to assemble, the right to worship, right? And then the right for the free press, not state-funded propaganda, free press to operate freely. The Second Amendment is put in right after that, as if if people are too stupid to understand that, it's pretty clear how they did it and why they did it. If the First Amendment is being denied, the Second Amendment is there to protect the First. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. And that even goes into a well-regulated militia. And people debate all that. They won't go there. They do, well, a hunting rifle. Folks, we live in the age of deception. We also live in the age that Daniel spoke about, when knowledge shall increase and people will travel to and fro. If this ain't the time, this is a test run. The devil, I believe, has become incredibly intelligent. And he found a loophole through our constitutional system in this United States. Cloward and Piven. I think it's, you know, Francis Fox Piven and Richard Cloward. They wrote this thing up in the late 60s. Oh, yes, Obama loved them. they wrote this up that we can take over this country through the healthcare system. When I read that the first time and I saw Obama doing Obamacare and all this, I didn't completely understand. I certainly don't understand why they want to destroy America and put everybody on free money. It's the most foolish thing I've ever seen. Now we're sitting, I mean, folks, I know I keep coming back on this stuff, but I'll tell you, I just can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. You know, that people are so out of touch. We have this, you know, a Seattle measure I was watching today, and after all this, there's a measure being ready to be voted upon to defund the police in Seattle. I mean, tell me these liberals don't want a third world country. And they keep yapping this stuff. What are they thinking? You know, they're out of touch because they don't know what it's going to do to them. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, I got contacted by a gal that said these people, you know, these crazy looters are starting to try to break into everything. Well, if they come here, they're going to find a lot of lead. There's no place in this shop, and it's designed this way, there is no place in this business where there's not a gun within 10 to 12 feet, loaded and ready to go. Trigger only. You know, cock, no, you know, set, no, nothing. Level 3 Kevlar in the walls, bullet and bomb-resistant polycarbonates, 800-pound bomb-proof doors, cameras in each corridor, you know, 42 cameras, but we've got different corridors where you can be literally locked down at a level of security you can't even imagine. You can't get through them. I mean, level 3 Kevlar, this stuff was about 7/8 of an inch thick. It ricochets a 9mm bullet like a pebble. I've shot, when I got it, I shot at my Desert Eagle 50 cal pistol into it, and it barely even scuffed the surface. You know, we're ready. And I'm not saying anything other than that, I guess. But that's when I say we have the highest rated privately held depository service, that's what we got. We got class 2 vaults. That's not the stuff you buy at the gun store. You know, those little gun safes that, in all honesty, someone with heavy tools can get in no time. We've got, you know, feet of composite concrete filled with rebar and special tool destroying materials. That 2 feet is also wrapped in 1-inch thick T1 tool resistant plate steel. And then on top of that, you got heat sensors, seismic detectors, 24/7 surveillance fed at different places, backup generators. When I built this place, I burrowed across divisions so the power for the facility comes from 2 separate grids in the city. I mean, I did my best, and praise the Lord. I knew for some reason I'd need that, I guess. I hope not. But I'm just telling you, this stuff is gone too far. If you've got guns, get the dust off of them and get your bullets ready. I'm not saying much. I'm just telling you, common sense, just be ready. People are going to, if this continues, they're going to be coming for your homes. You know, there was this Purge movie, this series that came out years back. And I think I accidentally watched one of them or something. And it's like, oh, one day a year we can, you know, there's no laws or something, you know. But, I mean, basically, that's what these people are trying to do. And then they yell and scream like little girls when they get shot. Chasing people down. What, do they just want to beat them to death? You know what would have happened? If they'd have killed Kyle Rittenhouse, he'd have laid in the street. They'd have abused his body. You'd have thought this was Libya. Americans need to defend themselves and not drag people through court who do. This has just continued to grow like a weed, like cancer. The left wing, now they're using the propaganda machine continuously to dumb down everything that you should know is right. You've got to educate yourself. Read the Constitution. What percentage of listeners that are listening right now have sincerely sat down and read the Declaration of Independence with a comprehensive intake and the Constitution of the United States of America with comprehension. I don't think it's real high. You better learn it. And you better, I mean, God bless America. We have to stand strong for this nation. We've been given rights that are that come from our Creator, nature's God, as it says. We have certain inalienable rights. Hang on here. That we have every right to exercise and defend. Let's see if I can get it here through this media conglomeration of lies. Let's see. In history, the document was approved by da-da-da-da. So weird trying to look for just simplicity. It's so garbage. There's pop-ups and garbage everywhere. It's so annoying. The only example they have here is the handwritten example, which is more of a pretty picture of it. I'll get there. But I'd love to read that. That is so important. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We need to realize what we're thankful for. Our founders, the pilgrims, you know, they talk about all that stuff that started Thanksgiving. They were thankful for the new land and the new country and what God had given them. They were very, very thankful. And that's why we're here. That's why Thanksgiving's so important. Halloween, yuck. It's just a sick celebration of what? Hallowed's Eve, Satan's high day. But it's cute. Kids dress up like ghouls and goblins and you give them candy. Here, if you do something evil, dress up like a demon and I'll give you candy. Thanksgiving's quiet. Their TV, you know, they're arguing about, families that are going to require certain family members to be vaccinated or wear masks. Folks, if there's one listener out there that has that in the back of their mind, give it up. That is it's divisive, destructive. You've been brainwashed and lied to. Is COVID real? Yeah, it's the coronavirus. And is there a version of it that's been tampered with? Yeah, but so what? Death is not the worst thing you can face. They have us brainwashed. This is what they do with these, you know, mass shootings and all this. This is how they get you to act crazy. Death is the worst thing. No, the loss of liberty is the worst thing. The loss of freedom. Would you rather be dead or would you rather be living in, you know, the USSR under Stalin or Nazi Germany as a Christian in a concentration camp? That's far worse than death. Don't fear death. It's far better that people die and liberty be maintained than people supposedly be saved and liberty be lost. I'll tell you what, when you lose liberty, you're going to lose so much life. That's where you get Mao Zedong, over 100 million people starved to death for the state. Because what's the state? It's garbage. Everything is motivated at that point and driven by fear of death. Give me liberty or give me death. A very potent statement. It's unbelievable. We need to understand that. Death is not your enemy. If you know Christ, death is a door of welcoming. Especially when you die for the right cause. So please, I mean seriously, embolden your faith. And I'll tell you, if you're a pre-trib rapture person, put that on the shelf. I have covered that a number of times using scripture. People can't refute it. It's not a breakable argument, folks. It came out of Jesus Christ's mouth. But so many people I talk to are so stuck on these obscure doctrinal deceptions that they don't want to hear it. Everyone's got their, you know, I think I know what it is. Okay, what? Well, you know, and they don't have any scriptural backing. If it isn't in the Bible and you can't back it up scripturally, you're probably not on the right track. If you stick to God's word, you're going to find yourself right. Call me a righteous radical. Righteous right-wing Republican radical. I like ours, I guess, at that moment. Our founders wrote, I so want to find this. Let's see if I can find this. Okay. When in the course, here we are. Yes. Okay, this is important stuff. Our founders made the Declaration of Independence. Okay, here's the way to view this. Let's just say hypothetically there was uninhabited, untamed land left on planet Earth. And a bunch of very well-educated, masculine men, capitalists, people who were wise, understood history, understood the Bible, etc., decided they were going to break away that from America, because America now is behaving in every way as bad or worse than England was at the time. When you've got Biden just spewing garbage out of his mouth, spewing money out to buy votes, to tilt this nation politically so it can never, ever recover. Forcing us to shut your mouth, put on your mask, lock down in your house. Folks, there's another one coming. You want to just keep getting those poisonous vaccines in your body? It's going to kill you. And say this group of men that had it together went to this new land that hadn't been developed. And they began to develop colonies because they wanted to be left alone. And then they needed to make income, so they started to trade. And then America went after them and said, you owe us taxes, you owe us money, you can't do this, you're not free, you will do what we say. And we're starting to behave as if Biden's a king, and he is absolutely incoherent. So this is what happened. And it got so bad, they tried everything. They tried discussion, negotiation, coercion, every sort and every form. But they just wanted to be left alone. And after they'd been pushed and pushed and pushed and broken and just, you know, raided and raped and pillaged and murdered, and yes, the British were heinous, arrogant fools, they finally decided to declare independence from them. And they wrote the Declaration of Independence, and 75% of the men who signed this died at the hand of the British and their families, and they did bad things. They were not good. They weren't near like the Muslims do to people, though. And Islam is the greatest threat in this world, folks. Islam is the greatest threat of all. And this nation right now is under the greatest attack. We're under siege. This country was built on Judeo-Christian beliefs and ethics from square one. And so even when people disagreed, it was on topics that were ancillary to the fundamental beliefs of our freedom and our Christian faith. Madison covers it. Hamilton covers it. That this nation is made for a religious and righteous people. Righteous being a right-minded, biblically it means right-minded towards God, not perfect, but religious, meaning all they knew of as religion was this, you know, worship of the God of the Bible. That's it. And then they were pushed and pushed. And can you imagine the feeling of having the power of the United States of America coming down on you, and you're a small group of men, and you're like, we have no choice. We've got to do this. Knowing when they signed that document, If you read the comments, they say there's these humorous comments and whatnot, but everyone knew that they were signing their own death warrant. But they knew that they were building a country for you and me. And now these fools that are brainwashed by social media are stripping it away. They're making everything petty and small, and the grand scheme of things is gone, and the Department of Education is lying to our children and deceiving them and making them think that what's more important is somebody's, you know, sexual or gender choice or whatever the heck it is. That has nothing to do with it and never should. You have a right to do whatever you want with your own body. They have taken it from a point of abuse where people may have disrespected their sexual behavior, but you know, certain things come with consequences. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It isn't normal, it's deviant behavior. I don't care what you say. But that is not what our country is about. You should be able to do whatever you want with your own body. We have encroached so deeply upon the freedom of man in this nation. It's unbelievable. Abraham Lincoln did some stuff under the, you know, Emergency Powers Act, but then it was all released and let go. And they did things I don't agree with, for sure. And then we work our way up into the, you know, the Theodore Roosevelts and the Woodrow Wilsons and Calvin Coolidge and all these people were extremely socialist. Socialism was picking up popularity. Hadn't really been put into play yet. And then we get FDR comes in. We got the Great Depression, caused by the Federal Reserve. And FDR begins to impose socialist action on this nation like it's never been seen before, confiscating farms and ranches and just, you know, the rocks will cry out, the Bible said. We had the Dust Bowl. We had terrible weather. You know, crops wouldn't grow. God was sick. This land became sick. And FDR kept us poor during the Depression. I'll give him one credit. He did it to keep building infrastructure, the CCC, conservation, whatever it is, work program, where men built bridges and monuments and dams and all kinds of things to build great infrastructure in this country. But he kept us deeply in depression so that they were dependent on the government. They had no choice. It was a very dark, dry time. But if you go back to what our founders said, let's go through this real quick. I don't know how much time I've got. Not a lot. When in the course of human events, let me see how long that's going to be. Too long. Wow. So we'll just say the beginning. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people, a group of people, to dissolve their political bands, to get rid of the tyranny that's holding them down, which have connected them with another, the tyrannical dictatorship, which is what England became the king, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station. Okay, so basically to assume your political position in a separate but equal station, not subservient, not a, you know, this is where Obama and them go crazy about colonialism. There's some truth to it, but it's old news. This has been broken when we broke the bands that bound us to England. So it says, and then it goes, to which the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's a key. Natural law. I've discussed this. We have physical law. Drop a ball, gravity sucks it down. as I said, you know, there's all kinds of Newtonian laws of physics. There's the second law of thermodynamics. There's all kinds of things I won't get into. There are physical laws you cannot change. There are natural laws you cannot change. We must accept this. The laws of nature is like in Galatians 5 or whatever it is, where it says, don't be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Sow to the flesh, reap corruption, sow to the spirit, reap life. That's why our country went to garbage under FDR, and it was working its way there. The Civil War was terrible. You know, we started to just get this. People weren't getting their education. However, the Civil War, I won't get into that right now. There is a lot of arguments from both sides. And I mean, that's a can of worms. But I'm telling you, you know, did the right side win? Kinda. I mean, we know, yeah, oh, the Emancipation Proclamation, blacks were freed. They should have been, but they were. The Northern territories, northern states, that blacks were free. You get Georgia and South Carolina were heinous, heinous, heinous. They needed to be dealt with. Tearing the country apart and killing a million men of childbearing and family leading age, not so sure. What a mess that was, right? But anyway, not there. Laws of nature and of nature's God. They universally believe nature's God. Somebody created this thing. We may not all agree on the specifics of God. And even if you and I and everybody else get in a room, we can go to the same church our whole life, read the same Bible our whole life, and we'll have different perspectives and opinions on who God is. There are, as I said, the Apostles' Creed is your basic foundational doctrine that you must believe. Outside of that, everything I think is semi-debatable. No one's going to see that God the same. It's just the way we are. But there are, we serve God. We have the scripture that we serve God, and we have to believe what he said. If we can't believe half of what he said. And when we get caught up in the flesh, we get lost. We get tossed around, as James said, like a boat on the ocean without a rudder, which is a terrible concept. So anyway, it says separate, okay, the separate and equal station, okay, that's making a new country that's not subservient to England, but equal to, and able to trade equally, to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. God entitles us to be free. God did not make us to be slaves to another man. Period. Now, we can do, you know, in the Old Testament, there's bond servants and stuff. You can dedicate your life to people. You can work for a man. When you work for that man, he is better than you. In that small scale. But on the grand scale, you have rights. We've gotten, you know, so many rights. We still have unions. We don't need unions most of the time. Every law, everything they fought for has been put into federal employment law. People are so well protected. In so many cases, if unions were lifted, people's wages would go up. People don't realize unions keep wages down. Why? So people are never comfortable. They always want more and they need more. And it's that darn union that's got to get it for me. And they make it look so hard. It's so bureaucratic, okay? So it says, anyway, so nature's God entitles us to this freedom. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind, okay? We need, if we have a decent respect of one another's opinions, it requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, if we're being mistreated and disrespected and, you know, looked down upon and abused and taken advantage of, we are entitled to free ourselves, and our opinions matter. They're not to be cast aside. And then it goes into, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. All men. Now that's equal in opportunity, not equal in outcome. Socialism does this equal in outcome thing. Equal in outcome pushes us into mediocrity. People don't produce well when they're doing it for someone else and not for themselves. There are stories of Mao Zedong going into entire massive regions, stealing, stripping away all of their you know, goods, all their rice, everything they produced, to the point where they died of starvation. And he said he was taking it to feed the rest. And you should be happy. And you should, you know, you're contributing to the state. But what he was really doing, so much of it went to waste, shooting people and everything. The food became so sparse that it just went to feed the elite armies that were imposing this madness. Stalin, if you know about Stalin and Lenin, man, same thing. Just dark, nasty, dire, terrible experiences. We have to understand we could die. There's some, I was listening to, who's the crazy actor? I can't remember his name. He just had some weird movie about the masks and everything and the disease, showing that there's two ways to look at it. You can either look at it from a dark side, like, yeah, we're all going to die anyway, but you can look at it a light side, because despite all of these abuses, we still have friends and we still have nice people around us. He's completely missing the point. The point is, you have freedom by this Constitution. If this Constitution is of no use, then we're done beyond done. This nation will crush us faster than any nation in the history of mankind. You think Rome was bad? You take away this Constitution and the right to bear arms and the right to free speech and the right to practice religion and the right, it says, of a free press. We've got the most propaganda-driven mess in the history of the world. I mean, it makes Russia look like, you know, heaven. I'm serious. This is just, they're imposing actions and activities that are out to lunch. Everything under Emergency Powers Act. Where in the world are the courts? Well, we're in a pandemic. Well, for how long? And this, none of the statistics support the pandemic theory. Okay, this is not a pandemic. It's kind of we're hyperinflating the flu. You know, they say, oh, the flu's gone. And what do doctors say? Well, it's because of the masks and we've been so careful. No, the flu, everything has been bundled together to skew the numbers, skew the perception, to make everybody think it's so scary. We've lost 700,000 people, more than we lost in World War II or whatever. No, we haven't. I'm sorry. I'm the one guy that'll tell you that's not true. We've got people dying all the time. There's people that are dying that get the coronavirus, and it's COVID. They happen to have it on top of 11 different disorders or comorbidities or whatever it is. So anyway, sorry. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, oops, we got God again there, with certain unalienable rights. That among these rights are what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, you have a right to live. No one can take that from you. Liberty, and that means a lot. Life is also abortion, obviously. Liberty, which is your freedom, freedom, that's big. And the pursuit of happiness, to do whatever God has endowed you with. The parable of talents. You're all different. You got a different direction to go. You get into communist nation, do they let you pursue happiness? No, you got to run and hide from the KGB. And the more kids you have, I know people from communist Russia that they'd have more kids so they could get a little bit bigger apartment in these great big disgusting boxes. Folks, I am sorry, but I am feeling it. I may be a kook, but I'm feeling it. I think it's coming hard and fast. The devil is on fire, and I don't know what to do, but I can tell you individually, we need to know our rights. Know your Bible and know your Constitution. We're reading the Declaration of Independence here, sort of, but I'm kind of running out of time. Whoa. Yeah, I am running out of time. So anyway, we hold these truths self-evident, unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government or the governed. That's you and me. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that the governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, they take it. They let people abuse them, and that we have a right to readjust the government. That's the way God made us. And yet people just lay there and take abuse, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, you just get used to it. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Or protections, obviously. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. In other words, we got to change this mess. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world, and then he goes down the list of how they've been abused. And I don't have time to go through them all right now, but I'm going to tell you something. It is good. It is true. Folks, we're on the road. I keep saying it. Just call us, 444-0044. Secure your wealth, please. You go online, give us 3 5-star reviews. Call us. We'll verify 2 free silver dollars. We appreciate it. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.